least twice a week, we can spend these times. We can come to you, Lord. We can ask you to come to us. And Father, we can draw the grace, the amazing grace, the daily strength, Lord, that which we need from you, Father, to live this life and to bring changes to our life, to see, Father God, deliverance in our life, to see success, to see a future, to see a hope materialized, Lord. We thank you, Father, for these times, Lord, that we can come before you and put away, Father, those things that are not pleasing, things that we hold in our heart, things, Father God, that bother us, Lord, things about others that sometimes, Father God, get in the way of our relationship with you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have these times. Help us, Father, to make the most of these times. Help us to call on your name and to know that you come and that you bring a freedom, Father, to us, Lord, and free, that you bring release to us, and that you bring renewal and inner strength to us, Lord. Father, we thank you for these times, great. Father, we thank you for your servant, Pastor Bernard. Lord, we thank you for bringing him to us today. We thank you for the word that you have placed in his heart to encourage us with, Lord, to even challenge us with. So, Father, we commit this next time to you for the sharing of your word, what you have, what there is in Pastor Berman's heart, Father, for what you've placed there. So we commit this time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Even your amens are very quiet.
Okay.
I wouldn't call that a victorious note to invite you to come and share with us.
Amen.
He understands this is a drug center and people go in problems and that you have problems and sometimes you get together with each other and talk sometimes nonsense and things and discourage one another and lead each other down the garden path, that you rob yourself sometimes. I don't think I'm wrong in saying what I'm saying, but I don't know what it is.
We okay. Welcome Pastor
Thank you.
Bernard.
Bless
Thank
you. You. Bless you. Okay. Well, I'm glad to come again and share with you. Some of you remember me. Some of you have asked about my wife, and she's not with me on this particular trip. For those of you who don't know, I come to Malaysia frequently. And I first came to Malaysia 30 years ago, so that's a long while ago, my first time. And almost every year, ever since then, I have come, sometimes for many weeks, sometimes for 5 weeks, sometimes this trip is 5 weeks, sometimes the longest trip I think is 16 weeks that we, my wife and I were here a couple of years ago. And this year we will come again and she will come with me, so I hope that we'll be able to come here again. I think that's November time. And to me it's a privilege to come and share something of the heart of God with you. And I'm going to take you to one or two scriptures for a little while, till about noon. And perhaps it links up with what our brother Jeff has been saying. I want you to do something if you can, because all I'm going to say this morning is very simple. You know that God speaks to us by metaphors. Another word for metaphors is pictures. And he speaks to us. In fact, all language is actually full of metaphor, pictures. And one of the things I'd like you to do now, you may not have to do, you may not have to close your eyes, but I want you to picture, if you can do it without closing your eyes, I want you to picture a tree. A tree. Because one of the metaphors that God uses for human beings in the Bible is a tree. So I want you to picture in your mind a tree. You may have, may not be the kind of man that looks at trees. I do. I used to work. When I left school, I worked for 7 years, and I worked with wood, timber. Jesus, of course, worked with timber. He was a carpenter. I worked with wood, wood that had been cut down from forests all over the world and transferred on ships to London. And I worked in the unloading of these ships and these barges and the changing of timber, the cutting of it, great big trees, cutting them into planks and then drying them to make floors. And I love trees. And I happen to know that trees vary. Wood is not all the same. Its cell structure is different. Some wood is fast growing, some wood is slow growing. Some wood grows in tropical countries like this. Some wood grows in very cold countries. Some wood needs good soil. Some wood, some trees, they need very deep soil. Some trees can grow where the soil is shallow. They can grow on mountainsides. And probably you know that if there was not trees on the earth, if God had not planted trees, you know that death would come in the creation. Did you know that? Trees are vital for the breath, the air that we breathe. So I want you to picture a tree. I'd like you to picture a large one, and I want you to think about it. And I'll talk a little bit about trees. Yesterday, I was where we're staying. I went across to a shopping center in Shah Alam so that I could do some work on my computer. And I walked in the sun. And then after I finished my work, I'd been in aircon. And then I walked back across the road, very hot. very hot. Sun, hot. And then I got to the park area where there's a few large trees. And as I walked, not only under the shade of the trees, but as I got there, the temperature was at least 3 or 4 degrees less. Do you know that every large tree is the equivalent to at least 10 big air conditioners? As it breathes through its leaves, it drops the temperature massively. It's not just that it shades, but by its breathing, it makes places cool. So if you've got a lot of trees together, 5 or 6 big trees, and you sit down there under those trees, you are 4 or 5 degrees Celsius less. That amazing. Now, as you picture a trees, you know that with some trees, their branches spread out very, very wide. Very wide. And probably you know that with many trees, their roots spread out as wide as their widest branches. See, there's a lot of the tree that you cannot see. A lot of the tree that's under the surface. Its roots. In fact, often it has more roots than is up above it. Its trunk goes up and its branches come out, and of course different trees have different ways in which their branches grow. It's the same with the roots. Some roots of some trees are quite shallow. Some roots go down very, very deep. You also know this, that there are many trees that bear fruit. Leaves, blossoms, fruit. You know that. So you have roots, you have trunk, you have branches, you have leaves, you have blossoms, you have fruit. Now all this is a picture of a man. When you next look at a tree, and I know that sometimes you work in gardens, and possibly you trim trees sometimes, as well as cut grass and things like that. Next time you look at a tree, remember that you are like a tree. And you bear fruit. And you have roots in your personality. And you have a main trunk. And you have branches that spread out. And you have leaves. You may not know this, but some trees, their leaves, small trees, they're poisonous. And sometimes the fruit is poisonous. And even the blossoms are poisonous. And there are some trees, and their leaves, when they're plucked, and they're cooked or they're infused in water, they bring healing. Leaves bring healing. You think of that little green, you know, you've heard of green tea. Everybody's drinking green tea. That comes from a little tree. And that, the leaves from that tree bring healing. It actually helps people's bodies. Very wonderful, you know. Do you know that there are some trees that the roots of the tree, when they're dried, they bring healing if they're taken in. Sometimes with some trees, the sap that which comes out of the tree, that which overflows out of the tree, little droplets of sap, brings healing. Useful. Tree is a wonderful thing. And of course, obviously, there are many fruits from trees. This morning for breakfast, I had three fruit. I had some mango, I had some apple, and I had another fruit, the name of which I can't remember. I rarely eat it, but I can't remember this one. But that's what I had for my breakfast, fruit. And of course, fruit brings life. Those fruits, they weren't poisonous. Now, when I turn to my Bible, I read about men being like trees. So I'm going to turn you into the book of Psalms, and Psalm 1, right at the beginning, Psalm 1. And let's just read this, and I won't do much more than read some scriptures and talk to you. Now this is what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Now, here is a graphic picture, isn't it? A man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This man is like a tree planted by streams of water. Now, planted by streams of water. This is very important. So, I'm going to connect. You see, a tree can't grow without moisture. It can't grow without water. A man needs to be planted by rivers. Now, I want you to understand this about yourself. You understand that within you there are roots. Within you, your roots go down. They go down into something. Don't try to understand it and say, well, what powers in me go down to try and find water? But every man has roots, and his roots go down somewhere. They go to find water. I'll tell you a story. There was an old lady in our church, this is many years ago, in 1976 in fact, and she was an old lady, and she lived in a big tall house, three stories, and she had a yard at the back that was very long, and her house was next to other houses. And in 1976 in England there was a drought. Very bad drought. And one day she phoned me up And she said, the water will not run away out of our toilets. Everything is backing up. It's dirty. Will you come and help? So I went to see what was happening. And I had a clue, because I could see, because I lifted up the drain out the back as it went out into the yard, because my first thought was everything's blocked, the sewers are blocked. And I lifted the drain and I saw that it was all full up there. So I knew that all the waste was not getting away, it wasn't being carried away. And I could see that everything, all the pipes, ran through the back garden under the ground. I looked over the fence and I could see it was the same in the other houses. So it was running out the back, all the drains, and they were buried underground, and they were making connection with the main sewer in the back lane. And I thought, something's blocking the sewer, that drain underground. And I looked and I saw something in the next garden, and it was a fig tree. They were quite rare in England. It was a fig tree. Fig trees have very, very big leaves, and because I've travelled in other countries, I recognised it was a fig tree. And of course it was green. Many of the other plants round about were dying. And I happen to know something about fig trees. They can smell the fluid, the water, their roots. And I thought, I reckon that there's been a little bit of a break, you see, in the sewer in the old lady's garden, and where the pipes connect, sometimes there's a little amount of water and sewerage that drains into the soil, and that's all right. But in times of drought, and I thought, I reckon that fig tree has sent out its roots and it can smell this water that's coming. And I think it's got there with its roots and it's grown right into the sewer, and it's broken open the pipe and it's filled the pipe with its roots. And so it's stopping everything running away. Isn't that amazing? So, of course, you know what we had to do. I called some of the brothers from the church, and we measured the lengths of the pipes that we could see, every 8 foot. So we worked it out and we thought, around about here there's a join. And we began to dig down 2 feet, 3 feet, getting all the soil out, and there we arrived at the place where indeed the fig tree had sent out its roots and wrapped itself around this pipe, split it open, stopped the flow. Powerful things, roots. They go seeking water. And you understand that you have roots. And where are you getting the water? There are underground rivers, streams. You know, in this letter, in this psalm, the writer of the psalm says, a man whose heart and his desires, and he's drinking of the streams, and he says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. His roots are going down into God. And God is like a stream, like a river. And the streams of the life of God are pure streams. The streams of his life are his law, his truth is precious. And as a man drinks of those streams through the roots of his personality, he becomes like a man whose leaf does not wither and who yields his fruit in the right seasons. Amen? You see, and you have to understand this about yourself. Where are your roots? Now, are they down in God's river? Roots are hidden. The underground rivers. You know, here in Kuala Lumpur, one year when I was here, I don't remember how long ago it was, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, while I was here, a whole apartment block of flats collapsed. In the middle of the night. Down. People were killed. I think even members of parliament who happened to live there were killed. At least one. Why? Why did it collapse? Because the builders and the architects had built in a place and they didn't realize that there was an underground stream flowing. And when the rains came, it made that stream swell. And that stream had been flowing for many years. And it had been gradually eroding the foundations of the apartment block until it came to the point where that stream made everything collapse. Underground stream, damaging rivers. See, I want you to know that there are underground streams that come from God. And there are underground streams that come from other powers. And if you and your roots go down into those evil streams, down your life will collapse. This is one of the things that we have to understand. For instance, this world is full of streams. Shall I name some of them? Here, he mentions about the law of the Lord. Now, there is a law. So he says that the streams are like the law of the Lord, okay? Okay, the law of the Lord is a stream. Well, I tell you, the laws of this world are streams as well. You say, what do you mean, the laws of this world? Well, the laws of its life, the laws of its ideas, the laws of its religions, the laws of its philosophies, the laws, you see, here's a lady and her husband, and they are standing in a garden by a tree. You read this in your Bible. And a serpent speaks to them, especially to her, and she listens to him. And out of his words, and in his words, and you wouldn't realize this, and they weren't aware of it, but his words were coming out of a stream. There was a stream coming out of his mouth, a stream of words, a river of words, and they were coming full of a philosophy, an idea, a lie. And as Eve listened to him, "Take the fruit of this tree and eat." Her roots went toward what he was offering. the waters that were coming out of his mouth, the ideas that were coming out of his mouth, the lies that were coming out of his mouth, and her roots went. And that's why she bore rotten fruit, because she let her roots go right down into the streams of wickedness, the law of sin and death. It's what the Bible calls it. The law of sin and death. Not the law of the life of Christ Jesus. Not the law of God, but the law of sin and death. Now I know that you may not see this very clearly, although I believe these pictures are very clear. You know that when you walk through this world, you can see many things on the surface, but underneath there are streams of wickedness, of selfishness, of evil, and they're flowing, flowing, flowing. And people's roots go down into them, and that's why people bear fruit unto death, wickedness, evil. Now, I'll turn you to another scripture. This one is in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, so turn to Jeremiah. And this is a famous, famous scripture, and you'll find that it's in chapter 17. Chapter 17. Very simple. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord. So this is Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Remember that. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. The roots of his heart are turning away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Very powerful picture, isn't it? Have you been like a shrub? I want you to know this, that when I sent out my roots to the wrong water, to the wrong rivers, I became like a shrub. Like a shrub. But when I sent out my roots and kept them there, trusting in the Lord, the right river, he's the right river for us. His philosophy, his truth, is the right river. I want you to know that though the drought comes, our leaf remains green. We remain in truth. We bear fruit in our season. Now, if you look at the next verse, it's a serious verse, verse 9, the heart is desperately wicked above all things, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Now, as God searches your hearts, tell me. Well, don't tell me. He will show you where you are finding your water, where your roots have gone. He'll search that out. He'll show you. And he knows, and remember, your heart is desperately wicked, and that means that without his help you can't even come to honesty. We have to come to honesty, and we have to decide, where will my roots go? Will I let my roots go down into trusting in myself, trusting in man, trusting in the flesh, trusting in my own ideas, trusting in the subtle temptations of the world? Will I let my roots go down there, or will I let my roots go down into the clear water that comes from God? Trusting in him. Trusting in him. I don't know. Do you know why I'm speaking to you like this? I'm speaking to you like this because almost the first thing that Brother Jeff said this morning was about us being rooted and grounded in Christ. Rooted and grounded in Christ. That the only secret of our life is that we are rooted and grounded in Christ. Do you know? Because he quoted from the book of Colossians, and we should turn to it now. Colossians, and it's chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. All right? And established in the faith, as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits. I'm going to change a word. According to the hidden rivers of the world. You understand? Because we're talking spiritual truth. And when it says the elemental spirits, you must understand that there are subterranean, under the surface, rivers of wickedness into which Adam and Eve drank, and into which their roots went, and into which your roots went, and my roots went. And the Lord comes to us, our Lord Jesus comes to us to cut us down and plant us in the soils of his love, so that our roots go down into Christ Jesus, into his mind, into his nature, into his life, so that we can be like a tree planted by the waters that bring forth their fruit in due season. Amen. And I will ask you if your roots are by the good rivers of Christ. Whether you think the roots of your mind and your thinking are going down into Christ, into his love, into his goodness, because you will bear fruit. It does not matter what you were planted in before. What is so important is that you are now planted and rooted in Christ. As you received him, this is what he says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Can I say something to you about this word Lord? Talk about whether Jesus is God or not, or just man. Do you know the fact is that the word Lord in the New Testament has a massive background? Do you know who was called Lord in the Old Testament? Only one person. God. God. So when it says that Jesus is Lord, it is telling us that Jesus is God. God. He's God. And you don't fool around with God. Jesus is truly man. And God has made this man, Jesus, Lord. But he's God too. Amen. And it's a very wonderful thing. As you receive Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That is, as the Lord. Don't go back to another Lord. Don't let your roots go back to the lords of this world, the lords of this earth. Jesus is the Lord. Don't go back to the other gods of this world with their philosophies and with their ideas. Now, it is a staggering thing, this. I've got another scripture for you. I'll go for another 5 minutes. Is that all right?
Yes.
And if you turn with me, this is back into the Old Testament, and go into the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8. You know, God had some men and women in the Old Testament. They were called the Jews. And they went wrong. And they went into captivity. They went into bondage. Because they turned away from God. This is Isaiah chapter 8. And this is verse 5. The Lord spoke to me again. And this is what he says, verse 6. So this is chapter 8, verse 6. Because this people have refused the waters of Shiloh that flow gently, and rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks, and it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings shall fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Now, what do you say? What does that all mean? It's all picture language. Here is the children of Israel, men and women, and their roots have been in God. But there are temptations all around them, big nations all around them. Will they continue to trust in God? There are enemies that threaten them and their existence as a nation. Just like happens to you, you get threatened by voices, you get threatened by your past, you get threatened by powerful enemies, and they were threatened. And God came to them and he said, I came to you like the waters of Siloam. He's using a picture. I came to you like a river, a gentle flowing stream, keep your trust in me, and you as a tree will not be swept away, but you will bear fruit even in these difficult times. And I came to you, and I spoke to you like this, and I pleaded with you, keep drinking my waters that flow gently, and you will be healed, and you will be well. This pool, this river, is linked actually with a story in the New Testament, a pool called Siloam, where a man went and washed his eyes and was made well. He was liberated from his blindness. Now God says, I came to you, keep trusting in me. Let your roots keep drinking from me. But you refused, that's what he says, you refused the waters of Siloa that flow gently. And instead, you turned and put your trust in other rivers, this person called Rezin and Remaliah's sons. They were princes and powers in nations around about them. They put their trust in them instead of God. They let their roots go down into these nations around about. And God says, because you've done this and you've resisted my pleadings, then I'm going to make a mighty river rise. And it's the rivers that you've been trusting in. You've rejected me. You've trusted in other rivers. Well, a terrible river is going to rise up. And this river is going to come with great power. It's the river of Assyria, and it will flood you, and your trees will be uprooted. You will, as a nation, be uprooted, and you will be carried away into captivity and bondage. That's what he said. And exactly that happened. That the river and the rivers, the wrong rivers they trusted in them, another river came up, swallowed up their life, uprooted them from their land, and they were no longer bearing fruit unto God, and they went and they were planted in a wilderness of captivity. See, this is very powerful. Now I want to say one last thing. There are many other scriptures I could turn you to, but I want you to go as a last scripture into the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 22. Because here we see a lovely picture. Then the angel showed me, verse 1, last chapter of the Bible, verse 1, chapter 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I saw the city, and I saw the river flowing down the middle of it. And there was the tree. You don't really, can't see very clearly whether the tree is in the river. Sometimes it looks as though it's in the river, or it's by the side of the river. And the tree of life has got these wonderful leaves that heal the nations. And it has these fruit, and it's bearing fruit every month. Hallelujah. And its roots are down there in the water. Can anybody tell me who's the tree of life? Jesus, that's right. Can you tell me about him when he lived on this earth for those 33 years? Did he bear fruit? Yes. Did he bear fruit even in the drought? Can you tell me where his roots went into? Huh?
Father.
Father, that's right. His roots went into his father. That's why every day, every moment, there was something green about Jesus. There was healing that came from him. He had his hidden roots of personality going down into his father. And he became and is the tree of life. Now your roots have got to go down into Christ and through Christ into the Father. You will become a green tree. And instead of bearing the old fruit, the poisonous fruit, you will bear good fruit. Love, peace, long-suffering. Hallelujah. Do you know how other Christians get strong? Now I hope I'm helping you to get strong by preaching to you and talking to you. But do you know where what I'm saying comes from? It comes from where my roots have been and are. And you eat the fruit of what I'm saying. But it's more than that, because you eat the fruit that is coming on the tree of my life, the fruit of my love for God and Christ and my love for mankind. I'm away from my wife at the moment. I'm away from my home. Last year I spent 32 weeks away from my home. Why? To make a living? No. No. Because where I go, even when I'm given gifts, it wouldn't be enough to keep us alive. We're not in it for the money. It's for love. Because our roots are going down into God and he bears the fruit of love. And other people eat love. They eat patience. That's why you've got to be patient with one another. Loving with one another. Amen. And you can only be like that if your roots are going down into Jesus. And you'll bear that fruit. Let me tell you another story to finish with, all right? I used to live in Australia for many years. And I learned, and that when I lived in Australia, I used to visit a number of islands called the Solomon Islands. Have you heard of the Solomon Islands? They're in the Pacific, to the northeast of Australia. Very poor. Very poor. No, hardly any electricity anywhere. Staying in leaf huts in the jungle. And 100 years ago, they were all cannibals. They'd eat one another. Well, about 90 years ago, some of the people, the islanders, would go to Australia, to Queensland, to work in the plantations. Sugar cane, to help and earn a little bit of money and then go back to their islands. Very primitive. And they were workers in these sugar cane plantations. And there was a lady named Florence Deck. She was a Christian lady, an Australian lady. And she loved these men. And she would go in amongst these men as they lived in their huts in the sugarcane plantations in Queensland, Australia, and she would teach them about Jesus. That's what she would do. She gave her life to teach them about Jesus. Some of them she taught to read. She worked amongst them. And one of these men believed. In fact, several of them did, but this one in particular. And he decided to take the name, the Christian name, Peter. And after several years, his heart, his roots were going down into Christ, his roots were going down into the Father, and he was bearing the fruits of love. Remember, he had been a cannibal. He was changed. And he had this heart, I want to go back to my village. I want to go back to my island. I want to go back and tell them about Jesus. So in the end, Florence said, all right, then you go. And Peter went back to his island, Malaita. I'd been there many times. No electricity, still jungle, villages in the jungle. He went back to this island, he went back to his people, he went back to his village, and the people, this is a true story I'm telling you, and the people, he talked to them about Jesus, and they said, we don't want anything to do with your God. And they persecuted him. They didn't know what to do with him. And this is what they did. They tied him to a tree with a rope around his neck. He couldn't get it off. They tied it in such a way. And he was tied to the tree by this rope. And he had enough room to get to a little stream and drink. That's all that. They brought him no food, no food at all. And they said, he'll die, won't take long, he can drink, but it won't take long and he'll die. And that'll be the end of Peter and the end of his God. And something amazing happened. For a year, he stayed tied to that tree. He would go down to that little stream and he'd drink the water. And from that tree, there dropped nuts. Now, this tree always bore nuts, but for a month every year, that's all. And to the village's amazement, every month, the nuts kept dropping. Peter would pick them up and eat the nuts and drink of the stream, and eat the nuts and drink of the stream. And God made the tree bear its fruit every month. Peter lived, and the villagers began to realize that something was happening. Here is a man. He was bearing the fruit of love. The tree was bearing its fruit. God was making it. But really, Peter was the tree. You understanding me? And they realized that Peter was like a living parable to them. And that tree was like a living parable to them. Here's a real man bearing the fruit of love. He wasn't jealous. He wasn't bitter. He was forgiving toward them. And his life spoke to them. He was like a tree that bore its fruit because his roots were in Jesus. And that's how the church began in the Solomon Islands, through Peter. The village, many of them believed. how the church began. A man whose roots went down into Jesus, into God, whose roots didn't go down into this world anymore. He was no longer a cannibal. He was a man of love and forgiveness, a man who bore fruit. Now you have a choice. You have a choice. What fruit are you going to bear? Fruits of bitterness? Fruits of wickedness, or fruit? This fruit. Where will your roots go? Trust in God? Amen. Amen. Now, we'll pray, shall we? Is that all right? Is that all right if we pray? And we ask the Lord, and I don't know if there's any man here, and you just want to, I mean, if you just want us to pray with you, if you want me to pray with you, say, oh Lord, I haven't got special powers, but what I do, what we do, is come alongside one another. And you say, I want to be a tree of life, not a tree of death, a tree of life. Oh God, make me a tree of life. Amen. Let's bow. Amen. If there's anyone who wants to us to particularly pray for you, just you can just, well, put your hand up or something like that so that I can see it, and then you can simply pray. Just put your hand up if you want me to particularly pray for you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Lord, see these men, Lord, whose hands are raised before you. Oh, Father, we break, Lord, them loose in Jesus' name from the soils in which they've been long planted. And we uproot them in Jesus' name from the rivers that they have drawn strength from. Oh, Lord, and by faith, Lord, we plant them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through your gospel, we plant them, Lord, in the soil of the life of Jesus. And by the rivers of living water, the streams that flow from you, look upon these men. Break, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, may they know a great loosing, a great loosing from the soils in which they have been planted. May we all know this, Lord, that we've been planted in your garden by your streams. Hallelujah. We're no longer in the garden of this world. We're no longer in the place where the streams of iniquity flow, but we're in the place of your precious, precious city, the golden city with the river running through it. Oh, of your life, bless these men. Bless these men, Lord. We stand against the enemy's work, and we stand firm before you, Lord. And we proclaim a liberty and a liberating from every lying philosophy, for every whispered word and every stream that is defiled and polluted. And we take you, O Lord Jesus, to be the water of our life. We raise our hands to you, Lord, and lift our faces to you, and thank you that you hear be glorified in this place and in these men, and may they all be trees of righteousness that bloom and grow and have leaves that heal, deeds that heal, and fruit that blesses. Oh Jesus, great are you, Lord, to do these things. Hallelujah. And we pray for our brother Jeff as he goes and has this interview with these men. I pray my brother shall stand there, sit there with composure, with grace, and that he shall be bringing the healing word of truth and the fruit of much thought and study, and that this fruit and this healing shall be proffered to these men, offered to them to consider. Oh, may he have grace to set the choice fruits of truth on the table before these men. And oh God, we cannot force them to eat. We cannot force them to turn from the vain philosophies that come from elemental spirits in this world dressed up in religiosity, Lord. But oh Lord, we pray that they may consider. And oh Lord, 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 bear your testimony through our brother, strengthen him, Lord. And we pray that there will be some salvation come into that situation, Lord. Even in my spirit, I know it won't be full, or not each and every one shall hear, but it shall be a seed sown. It shall be a corrective partially received and considered. It shall be a seed sown that shall bear some good fruit down the track. Hallelujah. So we pray for our brother together and lift up our hands to you for him. Oh Jesus, Jesus, break into that situation where these vain philosophies of men are being taught, Lord, and the doctrine of devils creeping in. And we pray that you'll loose many of the people out of the encroaching darkness. Bring them back into the light of your revelation. So we pray. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' lovely name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brethren.
Thank you,
brother. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You will excuse Tom and I from not staying, but I have things that I must do this afternoon. But we hope to stay next. I think we're coming next week.
Yeah,
is that
next
right?
Week again.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so we will move on to our next place.
Thank you.
Okay.